Senate Committee on Regional Affairs, and it's about 1:35, and with us Senator Bert Stedman, Senator Tom Wagoner, Senator Johnny Ellis, and myself, Gary Stevens. We have three bills that we're dealing with today, HB 108, Water and Sewer, Senate Bill 114 on service districts, and Senate Bill 86 on attorney fees. Let's begin with House Bill 108, then. Who's presenting this to us? Yes, sir. Could you identify yourself, please, for the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Josh Appleby, staff to Representative Tom Anderson. I apologize that he can't be here. They're going back on the floor shortly. I'm here to introduce House Bill 108. Similar bill as we introduced last year is House Bill 515. House Bill 108 changes existing law by adding the line 6 through 9 on page 2, exempting the Anchorage Wastewater Utility, AWWU, from regulation by the RCA, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. This language states that a water or sewer utility owned by a political subdivision but not directly competing with another water or sewer utility is exempt from RCA regulation. And the issue here is local control. There's no evidence showing that state oversight is better for the consumers in Anchorage than local management. Our office has worked with AWWU, the mayor's office, the assembly, and other Anchorage legislators to develop a plan for an oversight authority for the utility to maintain the level of consumer protection while encouraging and fostering stronger local governance of the locally controlled and owned water utilities. Representative Anderson has been encouraged by the hard work completed along the committee process, which has produced the latest version of House Bill 108. And I also understand that there's a new committee substitute that we'll be referring to later on. But just to bring you up to speed, the House Finance Committee added Section 2.
Are you talking about the committee substitute that changes at this point?
No, I'm only talking about House Bill 108 as it came over from the House.
Okay, go ahead.
And then, so the House Finance Committee, Mr. Chairman, added Section 2, continuing any pending matters before the RCA, and therefore not affecting those matters through this legislation, making sure that the open dockets will, you know, be not unduly overturned or prematurely closed when we pass the bill. The Finance Committee also added Section 3, adding to uncodified law language, allowing this legislation to take effect only if the governing body established a separate body to continue the fair and open process of setting rates based on standard industry practices. Finally, they added Section 4, which establishes the effective date. Additionally, the bill was amended on the House floor to include the language on page 2, lines 29 and 30, requiring that the new separate body include a role for consumer advocates representing the taxpayers. Mr. Chairman, with us today we have in the room Mr. Mark Primo, who's the general manager for AWWU, who, with your permission, can come up here and finish the introduction of the bill and also be available for any specific technical or historical questions, and also address the committee substitute with the new language that you should have before you.
Okay, so Mr. Appleby, he will be introducing the, he'll be able to defend the committee substitute, not, all right. All right, any questions of Mr. Appleby? Thank you. And Mark, if you come up, you can identify yourself, please, Mr. Primo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Mark Primo. I'm the general manager of the Anchorage Water and Wastewater Utility. Mr. Chairman, distinguished committee members, I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 108. This bill would exempt AWWU from economic regulation, but not service area regulation, from the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, and place it in the same status of every other municipally owned water and wastewater utility in Alaska except Pelican. There are two main reasons why the municipality of Anchorage desires exemption from RCA regulations. First, the current RCA regulation process and procedures are slow and expensive, and these regulations and procedures are non-responsive to the local needs. From 1993 to 2003, AWWU filed only minor housekeeping procedural matters with the RCA and never requested a rate increase, yet AWWU ratepayers have paid approximately $2.8 million in regulatory assessments to the RCA during this period as a part of every monthly bill. In 2004, AWW paid $445,000 to cover the cost of regulation, and we estimate in 2005 we'll pay $500,000. However, the greater cost to AWW and its customers is in the form of the cost of preparing filings and regulatory lag. History and present events show that local regulation is faster, less structured, and more economical. The RCA process was designed for private utilities and is not entirely appropriate for municipal utilities. The RCA process is very structured and very intimidating to the ratepayer. The RCA is not accountable to Anchorage residents. The municipality is more responsive to local needs and is directly accountable to the ratepayers who are served by these utilities. These customers are also municipal voters. As required by Anchorage Code, public hearings are held by the municipality on all rate matters. I ask for the committee's support of House Bill 108. Self-regulation has worked effectively across the nation in other Alaskan communities and also in Anchorage. Anchorage has regulated its own public utilities for many more years than have state regulators. The municipality of Anchorage has a proven track record of effectively regulating the Port of Anchorage, Merrill Field, and Solid Waste Services. All are extremely financially strong, highly reputable enterprises that provide excellent customer service, and rate changes have been infrequent. AWW has provided its customers excellent service, low and stable rates, and sound finances. In 2004, AWW filed its first rate increase since 1992. For more than a decade, ratepayers have benefited as AWW has reduced expenses by leveraging technology and improving business processes, while at the same time increasing spending on system repairs and rehabilitation. This has all been done without the direction or assistance or value added from the RCA. Over the years, the mayor and the assembly have made sound decisions in the oversight of AWW and other municipally owned utilities. The municipality of Anchorage administration supports the establishment of a strong independent authority to oversee and regulate AWW in lieu of RCA. The Water and Wastewater Advisory Commission and Mayor Baggage have reached consensus on a draft authority structure that includes strong consumer protection provisions. This work started over a year ago and recently culminated in the Advisory Commission holding five public meetings in the last 8 weeks to accomplish this work. The Mayor and the Advisory Commission are scheduled to make a presentation in the Municipal Assembly at a work session this Friday, April 8th, on the proposed authority structure. Subsequent to receiving Assembly input, the administration's goal is to have an ordinance establishing the AWW authority approved by the Municipal Assembly. The Municipality of Anchorage supports amendments also to House Bill 108. During the House committee hearings, some members proposed strengthening the bill to include language that the bill would not become effective until the municipality created an authority, a basic requirement designed to protect the consumer or the ratepayer. Additionally, a concern was raised to allow the pending RCA case continue until resolved. The municipality has no objections to either, and both issues are included in House Bill 108. Also on the House floor during the passage of House Bill 108, an amendment was inserted which called for the new authority to establish a consumer advocate among its members to represent the ratepayers' interests. The municipality agrees that strengthening its authority board with a consumer advocate role is appropriate, and we support the amendment. You have in your packet a letter of intent from Mayor Baggage stating his commitment to establishing an AWW authority with strong consumer protection provided by a board of experts serving five-year staggered terms and could only be removed for cause by the assembly with concurrence from the mayor. The board would be responsible for the operation and management of AWW under the oversight of the municipal assembly. Both the board and the assembly would hold public hearings on all rate increases. In conclusion, with the passage of House Bill 108, municipal regulation of AWW will balance consumer protection with the financial soundness, and AWW will continue to operate on a sound business basis. Thank you. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Raymond. Are you familiar with the Senate CS that we have in front of us?
Yes, sir. I saw it this morning.
Are you prepared to speak to that?
Yes, sir. I could speak to it.
Let's get that on the floor. Then first, could I have a motion to...
I'd move Senate CS for House Bill number 108. /I.
Thank you, Senator Ryder. Any objection?
Object for purposes of
certainly.
Explanation.
Yes. Yes, thank you. If you tell us what's in this CS and how it changes the earlier...
Yes. Specifically, what we're referring to is at the tail end of line 19 on page 2, through line 23 on page 2 is the CS insert. What this specifically is for is that there was concerns voiced during previous hearings on the House side regarding the reflection with respect to the rate-making process within the utility and the current RCA provisions with our rate case with the RCA. And what we want to do is address those concerns regarding the future of rate-making for the utility underneath an authority form of government. This substitute language, we believe, provides and addresses these concerns. One is that it ensures there's a process of rate review by the public body, as identified in lines 21 through 22 of the substitute. And if you further reference Mayor Bagish's letter, you'll indicate that there will be a public process for rate review, and that process, in addition, will be done to industry standards. Secondarily, it defines a test year no earlier than 2004, as shown on line 23, which is reflective of the current utility's operating expenses. A test year is how we look back in time and identify what were your operational expenses post, and do you need or should you justify or need a rate increase, and it identifies the test year, which we would look back to and no earlier than that. To have any other test year to look at for future rate increases would jeopardize potentially adversely the operation of the utility, so that's why the year 2004 has been chosen.
Okay, thank you. So, yes, Senator L.
Through the chair, Mr. Primo, the committee substitute speaks to rate review. In this context, what does rate review mean? It means different things in other parts of statute. Does it imply the ability to approve or deny rates, or is it just a reviewing the rates without the ability to deny rate increases? Or what with this term of art, rate review, in this context of this committee substitute, what powers would that grant?
Through the chair to the senator, specifically what that would be referencing would be is if the utility, through its long-range financial planning, indicated the need for a rate increase or decrease, it could go either way, that this board would look at those rates through a rate review process prior to passing a recommendation on to the Municipal Assembly for the actual ultimate action with respect to the rate-making processes. So it is, in short, the mechanism by which rates would be established.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Seven.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to hear why the municipality of Anchorage even came under the review. A little bit of history. There
under the RCA?
Under the RCA. There must have been a reason why they did that, and if that reason still stands today.
Mr. Primo, can you respond to that?
Through the chair, Senator. I have the dates actually in here, if you're interested in the actual dates, but it was around the time of unification when the municipality of Anchorage joined with the Greater Anchorage Area Borough and became the municipality of Anchorage as we know it today. At that time, there were many utilities, publicly owned utilities in the municipality of Anchorage, electrical, water, sewer, and phone. And because of the competitive nature of some of the other utilities, not water and sewer, but the competitive nature of the phone industry and the competitive nature of the electrical industry, by state law, all the utilities contained by that political subdivision had to be regulated because they were worried about the term called cross-subsidy, which would be using the rate-making powers of one of the monopolistic-type utilities, let's say the water sewer utility, to siphon off funds to subsidize rates and put a competing utilities at a disadvantage because one utility would be able to cross-subsidize another municipal-owned utility with respect to a different utility of the same venue, not water and sewer, but let's say electrical or phone. Do those conditions exist today? No, I do not believe they exist today with respect to the municipality of Anchorage. The issue of self-regulation with respect to the utility has been in front of the RCA before and previously, and it was not moved on by the RCA, but it was not as an issue with respect to the water and sewer utility. Did they reference that there was a monopolistic overview or concerns about being regulated at that time? No, they did not.
So if I can interpret your comments that there's been a consolidation of the privately held utilities and now there's just one utility?
Senator, I'm not sure I understand the thrust of the question.
Earlier, you referred to that there was multiple water and sewer utilities before the municipality of Anchorage became the municipality of Anchorage?
I'm sorry, Senator. No, there was multiple utilities owned by the municipality of Anchorage, that being the Anchorage Telephone Utility, Municipal Light and Power, also Anchorage Water and Wastewater Utility. And the other utilities I was referring to with respect to cross-subsidy was Municipal Light and Power and the Anchorage Telephone Utility. The municipality of Anchorage no longer owns the Anchorage Telephone Utility.
So there has been a consolidation.
Yes, or that utility was privatized in the, I believe it was the early 90s, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you, Senator. The issue of the rate study that is now being done by RCA, they do the rate study and they hold the hearings, and you've indicated that in the testimony, I believe, and also in the papers we've got, that it would be about a savings of $500,000. $500,000 is spent with RCA to do this for you. And I guess my question is, won't you, in fact, be doing much of the same exact thing RCA has been doing? And won't there be a cost attached to that?
Right, I understand the question. The $500,000 that we're referring to in 2005 expenses, Mr. Chairman, is specifically what's called a regulatory cost surcharge. Every utility in the state of Alaska that is regulated by the RCA pays a surcharge for the cost of the operation of RCA. That $500,000 goes to cover the RCA expenses, however they handle their expense stream. The work that we do with RCA is in preparing a rate case, and the quasi-formal judicial proceedings that are required in terms of pre-file testimony, in terms of discovery, think of it as something very similar to that of a judicial trial, is the way the RCA operates. That's where I believe the cost savings would come from in the operation of being self-regulated underneath the municipal authority. The $500,000 would not be charged our customers as it is right now, because we would have no RCA to support.
Let's just make sure I heard this right. So the RCA charges you $500,000 to be a member, and then if you have a rate hearings, then there are charges in addition to that $500,000?
There are charges that we as the utility incur in the preparation of the rate filing itself, in expert witnesses, in the testimony required, and the studies that are required. Not being in a semi-judicial type of atmosphere as you would at a local level, you would still do the actual calculations and the justifications and the needs per industry standards, but you would not have the cost that we would incur in a formal judicial type process. Right. And from the RCA standpoint, they also have a large expense in preparing their rate filings, usually through RAPA, in order to support, justify, and create arguments either pro or con with respect to the rate filing.
Thank you, Mr. Earl. So, and in the end, whatever rate changes may occur, up or down, they have to be approved by the Anchorage Borough Assembly, right?
That is correct. The proposal, the House bill that's in front of you, and the proposal from the mayor is to create a separate independent authority. The rate setting procedure will be a two-step procedure. One, this independent authority, seven members, that would all have a specific expertise as identified in the letter. So their singular focus with respect to the authority is that of operating and managing the utility in a strong, fundamental manner. They will hold a public process. They will then make recommendations based on that public process with respect to rates. That recommendation then will formally go to the Anchorage Assembly, and then the Anchorage Assembly, through ordinance and public process, would approve, modify, and or deny that suggestion from the operating authority.
Thank you. Any further questions, Mr. Primo? Yes.
Our notes are, it looks like RCA charges you $345,000, at least they're looking at a $345,000 change in revenue, and I'm just kind of curious. There's a difference between $500,000 and
$345,000.
Are you augmenting, or are you adding in other layers? Or
I can't speak for the RCA, although in looking at the fiscal notes attached to it. I do believe there are a pair of notes attached to it. One is the RCA indicates a $345,000 oversight cost reduction, and also I believe there is a value with respect to RAPA, if I'm not mistaken, Senator. But the $500,000 that I was referring to is based upon our calculations, based upon what the RCA, the regulatory cost surcharge is of date against our gross billings, and that's how it's calculated. It's a percent of gross billings.
Mr. Chairman, if there are no further questions.
Could I say one thing before we move on? Melanie's passing out a indeterminate fiscal note by Department of Law. So we have 1-0 and one indeterminate and one fiscal note. Is that right? So you should have all of those. I'm sorry. You were still had another question, Senator Seven?
Yeah, I'm just curious. I suppose that your costs are going to go down some magnitude, and, you know, because there's some efficiency gains here, I assume, of 500. So should we expect less upward pressure on rate increases or an actual rate decrease?
There's no question that there'll be less pressure on rates. I would like to tell you there'll be no rate increases, but given the high cost other utility bills, such as gas and electric, which we are very dependent upon, I can't make that statement. However, I can say that, you know, the $500,000 regulatory cost surcharge will not be there. I can also say that the expense of filing and dealing with the RCA in their formal process for rate making, in the rate case we're in right now, we're approaching that same number. So, and I would expect before that rate case is finalized, which will be the middle of June, we will probably be in excess of $500,000 of expenses internally in our testimony, expert witnesses.
That's all I have.
Hey, Senator Sedman. And Senator Ellis, did you?
If there's another question,
Well, the way I read this last fiscal note we got, last paragraph says it may become necessary to amend statutory cap governing the amount of regulatory cost charges the state is allowed to collect in order to fund the commission and public advocacy function. That basically, most of that doesn't apply, really, to what we're talking about in the other three fiscal notes. The other three fiscal notes are a savings because we're deregulating the Anchorage utility, and then that becomes the responsibility of the city of Anchorage, and that savings should be passed on to their ratepayers. This, I think, has an entirely different connotation. It's saying, oh, we're going to lose some employees. We don't like that. Kind of nice to be able to lose some employees once in a while instead of add some.
Thank you, Senator. And I point out, too, we also have Kate Gerard, who will be speaking to us as well from RCA. Any further questions, Mr. Primo?
If there are no further questions, Mr. Chairman, I remove my objection to adoption of the committee substitute.
Thank you. Is there any other objection? Okay, we have before us the committee substitute. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Primo. We also have Kate Gerard. Is Ms. Gerard here or on the...
Mr. Chairman, yes, I'm on the phone, sir.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. Would you identify yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Kate Gyard, and I'm the chairman of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska.
I am very sorry. Would you pronounce your name again?
Gyard. It rhymes with tired, which I am because of daylight savings.
Oh, here we go. Now, this is the wrong committee. I'm sorry. That's for later discussion. So, Ms. Gyard, if you would please go ahead.
Certainly. Mr. Chairman, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska is primarily available for questions today. We did just receive, however, a copy of the new text on the working draft, so I have people in my office taking a look at that to see if we have comment, but I'm not prepared at this time to comment about that. I do want to make a point to clarify a few points that Mr. Primo was making, and to clarify at least the fiscal note issue as far as the Regulatory Commission of Alaska is concerned. The RCCs are collected very similarly to property taxes. they're collected from all regulated utilities, and they go into a pool. So it's a very true statement that, like a parent who has kids in school, you collect property taxes on your home, your child goes to school, but the next-door neighbor who has no children in school, property taxes are collected for them to fund the school as well. And the situation that Mark is talking about is really that while the AWWU ratepayers have been paying RCCs, they've had no children in school. And so there is their money, which has gone into the general pool to support the regulatory effort of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. So there isn't really a staff person that you can appoint to say this person works only on AWWU matters and for 15 years hasn't done anything. It's really, it goes into the greater pool. So hopefully that will clarify how at least our regulatory cost charges are calculated. In the instance of those regulatory cost charges going down, less money for RCCs will come out of ratepayer wallets in Anchorage to the tune of approximately $500,000. And we rely on AWWU's calculation and $500,000 figure because they're calculating it based on their current revenues, and they pay based on their current revenues. When we make an estimate of what they may pay, we're doing it based on known facts, which are their 2003 revenues. So there would be a difference there. And for the purposes of this, it's probably better to rely on AWWU's $500,000. And that $500,000 is comprised of both the amount which is paid to us, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, and the amount that is paid to the Attorney General, which has, I think, a year and a half now taken over the public advocate side. So there's two funnels that money goes into. It goes into the RCA's pocket and it goes into the Attorney General's pocket. In the aggregate, it's probably around $500,000 this year. So that money will be reduced for the in exchange for the local control. The preparation of the rate case and the filing and the studies, from our perspective, I can't say whether that cost for AWWU will go down or not. It seems like they're putting in place something that will mimic the systems that we have. And one of the reasons AWWU's rate case costs go up when they bring a case to us is because we have a public advocate, the Attorney General, that comes in and looks at their filing, that questions their filing, and requires AWWU to defend and support their filing. Once that happens, AWWU goes and prepares formal testimony and a lot of other formal requirements. Now, I don't know whether AWWU would have to do the formal testimony and how that public advocate that the municipality has agreed to assign will function, but it may be that it's very similar and that those costs may not go away. I do believe that the RCA has provided the utility with a degree of protection, if you will, from transfer of costs from local government over to the public utility. And I bring this up because we had testimony in the House from, I believe, the representative from Fairbanks, who talked about that utility, which was under municipal control and became really a cash vehicle for the municipality of Fairbanks, and maintenance didn't get done on the plant, and other deferred maintenance grew, and the plant lost value, and in the end, it was sold as part of the exiting of the municipality from all its utility ownership, and it is back under our regulation, economic regulation, as a privately owned utility. So in this evolving record, what has happened is the municipality has come forward and say, we recognize that. We will create an independent group. We will put a public advocate on that group, and we will create some distance between the ability of the assembly to pass costs or to shift costs from local government over to a body of ratepayers. And if the municipality successfully enacts that and there's no reason to expect that they wouldn't, then you will have afforded the ratepayer with the similar type of protections not exact because we stand independent from the Assembly. And I don't want to underestimate that power, but there will be some control there and some ability of a ratepayer to seek counsel from that group. Those are my comments, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions? All right, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else to speak to us? Yes.
We would like to, I'd like to speak from Anchorage here. This is Virginia Rush.
Okay, Virginia Rush, please go ahead and identify who you represent, Virginia.
My name is Virginia Rush, and I'm an attorney. I have worked in the field of utility regulation for many years. Starting in 1981, as an assistant attorney general, I represented the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and later the RCA for approximately 14 years. I no longer have any connection with the RCA. I'm here today on behalf of the AARP. The AARP opposes House Bill 108, including this language of the latest committee substitute, because we believe that it's not consistent with AARP principles on utilities. Principles that the AARP advocates for utilities include the following. Regulatory authority. The AARP advocates independent, fully funded, and adequately staffed regulators who are focused on residential ratepayers and empowered to initiate investigations and enforce laws and regulations. The AARP advocates public participation, broadly publicized hearings on proposed changes in public utility rates that are conducted in the service area to be effected and allow consumers to express their views. The AARP advocates consumer representation, independent, fully funded, and adequately staffed consumer advocacy organizations empowered to initiate investigations and authorized to represent residential ratepayers before state and federal regulators and in the courts. Now, the AARP has over 30,000 members in Anchorage, nearly 2,700 in Eagle River, and 170 members in Girdwood. I don't know exactly how many of those members are AWWU customers, but we know that it's a large number, and the regulation of this utility is a concern for our members. We intend to work with the city in developing their process that they talk about to meet the AARP principles, but we haven't seen that process yet. We don't know how it will work. We don't know whether the rate-making body that AWWU says it will have will be independent of the municipality's own financial interests, or will that body be under pressure to shift taxpayer costs to utility ratepayers? We don't know whether the consumer advocate that must be part of that process is going to be independent and fully funded and have access to the information that it needs to fully examine the utility's rate cases. A major concern of the AARP today is the effect of this bill on the current rate case that is before the RCA. We don't think that AWWU should be able to ask for new rates the day after the RCA's decision if it doesn't like them. And we think that this bill, including the new committee substitute language that's just now proposed, would allow that. Let me tell you a little bit about what is going on in AWWU's current rate case before the RCA, because this will help you understand our concerns here. AWWU is seeking a total increase of over $10 million per year from its ratepayers, an 18% increase in rates. And that's one of the larger rate increases that I've ever seen since 1981 in working with this commission. But $6 million of that $10 million is due to a change that's already been approved by the Anchorage Assembly that increases the municipal utility surcharge assessment, which is the payment of lieu in taxes that's charged to these utilities. What that means is that this large rate increase reflects rates through which ratepayers pay more than $6 million in additional taxes to the municipality through their utility rates. Now, the consumer advocate, which is the AG, as you've heard, or RAPA, Mr. Primo called it, the AG's position is that this increase shouldn't be allowed. And with other costs that the AG says should be disallowed, the consumer advocate's position before the RCA is that this utility doesn't need a rate increase at all. I'm not here today to argue about who's right on those issues that are before the RCA, but the RCA process does follow the AARP principles promoting a public process, public participation, consumer representation, and an independent decision maker. Any rates that the RCA adopts should have a reasonable life before AWWU is able to file a new rate case. There aren't any cost savings if AWWU files a new rate case the day after the RCA issues its decision. The only reason for doing that would be the desire to have a second bite at the apple because it doesn't like the decision. It's typical in rate case proceedings before the RCA to expect about 3 to 5 years between rate cases. In fact, AWWU's last rate case was 12 or 13 years ago, and other utilities, NSTAR, Golden Valley Electric Association in Fairbanks, had 15 years or so between rate cases. So we specifically object to the provision of this bill that would make the effect of the RCA decision end immediately if AWWU files a new rate case. And I think the committee substitute, which I don't have a copy of here, but I believe that it says they can file a new rate case based on the 2004 test year. Well, it's now April of 2005. Their books should be closing very soon, and they could start preparing a rate case today and could present it immediately after the RCA's decision comes out if they don't like that RCA decision. We don't think that's good public policy. We had suggested a version that would allow AWU to file a new rate case only after a full year, test year experience after this bill is effective if it should be passed. And that would mean their rate case earliest filing would be about 2007, about 2 year life of those rates, which is still on the very short end. AWU was not willing to accept that proposal that we made to change this bill. And so we oppose this bill today. The last thing I would like to say is to talk briefly about the Fairbanks experience too. When the city of Fairbanks came to the RCA, to the APUC, asking for approval to sell its utilities to a private entity, everyone, municipal utilities, municipal officials and utility officials all said that their rate-making system did not work. And it was very similar to what Anchorage is now proposing. The problem there was that the city could not raise rates high enough to cover, or the political bodies were unwilling to raise rates high enough to cover both the tax payments that the city drew off and the needed repairs and investments for that utility. So the utility plant deteriorated year after year until there was literally a pile of untreated waste sitting in Fairbanks because the utility could not deal with it. My question, I just can't help wondering why the city of Anchorage is so eager to get itself in the position that Fairbanks officials were so eager to get out of. In summary, the AARP is opposed to this bill in its current form, and that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. Senator Wagner, did you have a question?
Well, I was just wondering, she's testifying on behalf of the AARP, and AARP is pretty well entrenched around the state. So is it would it be correct in assuming then that AARP would be getting into the situation whereby the community, for instance, I come from, the city of Kenai, would become a regulated utility with their water and sewer? Some municipalities do a good job being self-regulated and running their own water and utility system. And I'm very familiar with the city of Kenai's and Soldotna's, and they're a very healthy system. And I'm just wondering what leads you to think that the city of Anchorage is not capable of having a healthy system itself. I think the more we get out of regulating municipalities, the better off we are.
Senator, I'm not addressing any regulatory system that is not covered by this bill. Not advocating any system that would put other entities under RCA regulation. We are only concerned with this bill about whether the city of Anchorage is going to regulate its utilities in a way that is consistent with the AARP principles. I frankly don't know anything about the Kenai system because in my 20-some years of utility work, it wasn't before the commission. I'm pleased and delighted to hear that it works well. We're not trying to fix that problem, that doesn't need to be fixed there.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. Any further questions of Ms. Rush? Thank you, madam. We have one more person to testify here with us. Yes, please go ahead.
For the record, my name is Kathy Wasserman with the Alaska Municipal League. Somehow I end up walking into the testimony on this bill quite by mistake and can't refrain from speaking. AML, of course, always advocates for local decisions and control to be made by the local government or local elected officials and by the local people. The local elected officials are, of course, closer to the residents in that town, and through due public process that's held in all municipalities, it is very difficult to do anything that would certainly catch the eye of the regulatory commission as far as raising rates so high that it would be impossible for people to maintain their homes or to pay for their utilities. The regulatory commission is an extra layer. They impose an extra cost, and it usually ends up with extra paperwork. The other reason I am here to testify is because as the other community which was regulated or is regulated by the Regulatory Commission, I was the former mayor of Pelican, and we were regulated by them, not by a choice of our own, but it was a lot of extra work. It was more money, and in our community, we found exactly the opposite to be true. When the private company that held our utility before the city got it, the maintenance was deplorable. the rates were not enough to keep the utility alive, and that is exactly why they had to get rid of it. So the Regulatory Commission, as far as I'm concerned, at the time, did not do what Ms. Jared says that, sorry, thank you very much, says that they will do. We believe that the people, the local elected officials, are more responsive, make wiser choices, and usually can make more efficient and effective decisions, and also much quicker. And as the state looks for a way to pass costs on to local governments, which seems to be sort of a thing this year, this would appear to me to be a very positive and beneficial way to do just that. Thank you.
Are you testifying in favor of passing costs on
in favor of passing House Bill 108. Sorry, was that a little... Yes.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Yes.
No questions.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Wasserman.
Sure.
I just want to know if Ms. Guyard is still on the line.
Ms. Guyard, are you still with us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator Wagner.
Question. I read again the last sentence, and it seems to me that they talk about the regulatory cost charges and the fact that may become necessary to amend the statutory cap governing those. That tells me then that in some cases those people who have been doing the regulatory work dealing with the Anchorage water and sewer system have been doing work that's being paid by the Anchorage utility user to work on other projects and other products through the Regulatory Commission. It seems kind of unfair to me. I understand you're talking about pooling and sharing the resources through that pooling effort, but at the same time, if it's what I hear you saying is that it may be necessary to go out and charge other regulated bodies more money because you're losing the money that's being paid in by the Anchorage water sewer system.
Through the chair, Senator Wagner, we actually, that is not our statement. We had a statement that we filed which said that it's approximately equivalent to three full-time equivalents. I don't know who, I did not sign that statement. Is that something that was sent to you from Department of Law?
Yes, it's a fiscal note.
Okay, Department of Law prepared that fiscal note because, and the Regulatory Commission of Alaska did not. And in fact, we have said in previous hearings that we believe it is inappropriate to try to maintain regulatory control over an entity simply to receive their revenues and not provide, you know, regulatory service. So the Regulatory Commission of Alaska does not support that statement of Department of Law, and I'm surprised Department of Law would have included us. That may be that Department of Law is concerned they need to raise the RCC to accommodate that, but that is not the opinion of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska.
Okay, I'm glad you clarified that because, they do also reflect in another fiscal note that looks like they're going to be losing approximately a legal position from their budget. So.
Through the chair, Senator Wagoner, the revenues for the Regulatory Commission of Alaska were not what we anticipated this year, and as a result of that, we have laid off 8 staff members already to make sure that we live within our means. So we would not be promoting increasing our revenues at this point for that purpose. We do intend and plan to have a special project that we would ask for an increase in revenues, which will come forward to you separately. But we would not advocate increasing revenues or holding on to a utility simply to get their revenues.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Primo, would you mind coming back to clear up a couple of points that were brought up? At least in my mind, a couple of thoughts that we've heard, one from Ms. Rush, actually both from Ms. Rush, but one indicating that this would be a matter, this could result in cost shifting to the ratepayers, I assume, other costs of the Anchorage
municipality being shifted to the ratepayers for the water service. Could you talk about that? And the other issue of the issue now before the RCA and the result of that, if this change occurs, what happens to that?
Maybe be easier if we take the last one first, the RCA rate case. It is identified in the bill that the outcome of the current proceedings and from the RCA rate case will go into effect, and even if this bill's effective date is prior to the conclusion of that rate case, the proceedings in front of the RCA will continue until they reach a logical conclusion. So the RCA rate case, irrespective of the effective date of the bill, will go into effect, and the utility will abide by those decisions.
Right. Thank you for clarifying that.
Regarding cost shifting, that is always a concern, I think, of any municipal department. I think it should be a concern of the local government. I agree with the individual from the Municipal League, though, that local control is your best form of preventing cost shifting. When the individuals who are responsible for running the utility now need our proposal to be an authority, there would be individuals that are experts in utility management, public health, engineering, finance, consumer advocate. That would be their job to watch out and prevent for the cost shifting between an enterprise fund like ourselves and other forms and the other portions of government. Also, that would ultimately go in front of the municipal assembly, from the municipal assemblies through a public process for their review and approval. And I'm sure many of you have come up through the local process and the local councils. And no offense to my friends here in Juneau, but I do find my assembly members in Anchorage much more accountable for their actions on an instantaneous and daily basis. And so I would suggest that would be the way that cost shifting is prevented right there at the local level.
Thank you. I'm sure you're fine into that last comment, but
okay, I apologize.
Are there any questions, Mr. Primo? If not, I'll give him an opportunity to sort of answer anything else that came up that he might care to.
Other than I do welcome Mrs. Rush and AARP working with the Municipality of Anchorage starting this Friday on setting up the authority. It is the intent of the municipality to ensure that there is strong consumer advocacy built into the process. The letter which you have from Mayor Baggage on how the authority will be set up, assuming that the Municipality of Anchorage Assembly goes along with it, which will be initiated this Friday, does speak to the principles of AARP, maybe not directly to the point where Mrs. Rush said, but I think in a general global statement, I would suggest it does meet those principles.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, Senator Kukesh, I failed to mention that shortly after we started, Senator Kukesh are right and is with us now. Any further discussion, any further comments or questions by members of the committee? Senator Wagner.
I'd move Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 108 / I with individual recommendations and four fiscal notes.
Thank you. Is there any objection? All right, we'll move that out then with the individual recommendations. Thank you very much, everyone who testified. Appreciate that.
I'll make a statement. I didn't know. Did you serve in a municipal capacity before you came?
No.
Albert, did you? You've served in corporations. Did you serve any municipal? Oh, okay.
There.
Home
okay, the second issue we're dealing with today is Senate Bill 114, Service Areas in Second Class Boroughs.
We're going to put in the proper bill.
We'll put in the right. Would you put the right bill in so we have? we'll just let you sign everything. We'll fill in the bill after you signed it. House Bill 108.
Take note, I marked no rec on that.
All right. Now we're at Senate Bill 114, an act relating to consolidating or abolishing certain service areas in second-class boroughs. Let's see. I need to remind myself what we have done here. We have Melanie, we have a CS.
The CS was adopted at our previous meeting on March 9th. I'm Melanie Lesh, for the record, aide to Senator Gary Stevens. We do have one person online for this who wasn't able to testify. We took testimony on Senate Bill 114, which allows consolidating or abolishing certain service areas in second-class boroughs. Athena Logan is online with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. I think that we, if you want, I can give a brief overview of the bill.
Yes, would you please, Melanie?
Okay. Senate Bill 114 enables second-class boroughs to consolidate or dissolve service areas that are non-functional or functioning below minimum standards under AS 29. The bill protects service areas that are taxing themselves to adequately maintain the safety of their own roads. Consolidation or dissolutions will be decided subject to public hearing processes of the local assembly. There are excessive road service areas that were created under a period of time when state revenue sharing was distributed by road mile, and Fairbanks in particular had created over 100 road service areas. So this bill, although not serving Fairbanks alone, it just allows the local assembly to make the determination to dissolve service districts that are no longer functioning.
Thank you, Ms. Lesh. Any questions? Thank you. We have a couple of people who want to speak to us. Let's take a very brief at ease. Melanie, let's go ahead. CS for Senate Bill number 114. We have a couple people who wish to speak to us. Athena Logan. Ms. Logan, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Would you please identify yourself, Ms. Logan, and then give us your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Athena Logan. I am a local government specialist with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. The department endorses measures to give borough governments the flexibility needed to provide for efficient delivery of services. This bill does that for second-class boroughs. However, the department wishes to make two observations about this bill. First, the bill as written gives greater flexibility and authority to second-class boroughs than it does to home rule boroughs. Under Alaska's Constitution, home rule represents a maximum level of self-governance. I'm aware of no instance where the state law places a greater restriction on home rule local governments than it does on general law local governments. This bill would be the first in that regard. The provision seems contrary to the intent of home rule local government. Second, there is nothing unique about a second-class borough that would suggest that the measures in this bill are needed for that particular class of borough, but not the other classes of boroughs. Consider, for example, Ketchikan Gateway Borough. It is currently a second-class borough. As such, the assembly of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough would gain needed flexibility under this bill. Yet, a petition is presently pending before the Local Boundary Commission that, if approved by the commission and the voters, would convert the Ketchikan Gateway Borough into a home rule borough. If that occurs, the Ketchikan Borough Assembly would then lose the flexibility accorded to second-class boroughs as this bill is currently written. Please allow me to repeat. The department endorses measures to give borough governments the flexibility needed to provide for the efficient delivery of services. This bill does that only for second-class boroughs. I believe that you have a copy of the March 9th memo from Margie Vandoor, Assistant Attorney General, which addresses this bill. We believe that this legal opinion supports our understanding of the bill. Thank you for the chance to comment.
Thank you very much, Ms. Logan. Any questions of Ms. Logan? Thank you. We also have Renee Brooker from the Fairbanks Borough. Do you want to testify, Ms. Brooker, or not?
No, Mr. Chairman, I was just available for questions.
do you have any response to what Ms. Logan has just said about the issue between second-class boroughs and home rule?
Well, what this bill is attempting to do, I understand it, is to address a problem that's only being experienced by second-class boroughs. And the comment is correct that home rules have more power than second-class boroughs like the Fairbanks North Star Borough. But with more power comes greater flexibility and ability to deal with problems that second-class boroughs do not have. And because we don't have that power, specifically road service powers or road powers, we can only exercise them through service areas. We have an issue and a problem that home rule municipalities are not experiencing.
Okay, thank you very much, Renee. Any questions? Any comments anybody has? I may be the only one who's confused on this issue, but it seems to me that this is one that might take a little more thought. Does anyone object to just holding this until we have a time to sift these issues out?
No, not at all.
Okay, so we will hold this bill for a later hearing. And we'll move on then to the final bill we're dealing with today, which is Senate Bill 86, State Municipal Liability for Attorney Fees. This, of course, is on the governor's bill. The next referral is to the Judiciary Committee. We previously adopted an amendment and have a new CS. It deleted costs of and inserted attorney on line, page 2, line 5. So we have before us the CS. Is that right?
I don't, Mr. Chairman.